الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون ولا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل وتكتموا الحق وأنتم تعلمون وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون صدق الله العظيم. Respected and honorable ulama ikram, elders, brothers, young friends in Islam, and sisters who may be listening over the receivers or over any live streaming. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhum. I recited approximately 7 verses from Suratul Baqarah, which is the longest surah of the Holy Quran. And the reason and the purpose of reciting these particular verses is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the answers to all the questions that we may have, if we want to stay on the correct path, on the right path, that what we need to do is, we need to go back to the Holy Quran. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has detailed in the Holy Quran various aspects that we will encounter as human beings, as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in those he has given us a lot of solutions, a lot of solace, a lot of comfort, a lot of guidance, a lot of direction. And therefore, as an ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must be going back to the Holy Quran. Sometimes global affairs and things that are happening globally, they affect our deen, our iman and our aqaid, because we tend to sway with those global affairs. Whatever has been happening in the last week in the Middle East, there is a lot of confusion with regards to that. And I do not want to delve into what is the correct understanding. But what I definitely want to do in today's Jum'ah is to direct us to some verses of the Holy Quran, so that we must pick up those verses, pick up on those surahs, read the translation, reflect and ponder over them, because the Quran was not revealed just as a recital. It was not revealed just as a recital that we must rattle off verses of the Quran. Of course, that is one of the objectives of the Holy Quran. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. That we recite the verses of the Holy Quran, that is one of the objectives that we must recite. But that is not the only purpose of the Holy Quran. It is very important for us to be understanding the meanings of the Holy Quran, to take lesson from the Holy Quran. In fact, one poet in Urdu, he mentions and he captures the complaint of the Holy Quran. He says, Jis tarah se tota maina ko, jis tarah se tota maina ko, kuch bol sikhaye jate hai, is tarah padhaya jata hu, is tarah sikhaya jata hu. The Quran Sharif itself complains that just like how people teach their budgies and their parrots some words, like that, that is how I am learnt and that is how I am taught, and people don't understand the depth that is there in the Holy Quran. They are not pondering, they are not reflecting on the verses of the Holy Quran. Particularly with regards to the Bani Israel and the Israeli nation, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has mentioned in many, many verses of the Holy Quran about their traits and attributes. And it is not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had some personal vendetta against this lot of people that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned them and mentioned their sins and mentioned their traits. It is not because of that. It is so that this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must take heed, must not fall into the same traps, must not make the same mistakes. And it is because this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to have to deal with these people all along. So they must be able to understand the mindset of these people, and therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses them, and therefore it is important for us to analyze those verses of the Holy Quran and then make up our minds as to which way we need to be and what sort of aqaid and beliefs we are supposed to be having. So particularly in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them, and in Surah Al-Imran. And like that in many, many other verses and many other surahs of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses these aspects. But I want for us to discuss and start discussing these verses. And inshallah, wherever my intention is, that wherever I am going to do the Jum'ah over the next few Jum'ahs, to carry on discussing them, because it is not possible to encapsulate all of them in one particular Jum'ah. To start off, the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah. First of all, we must understand that Surah Al-Baqarah is a Madani surah. It means that it was revealed after the Hijrah. It means that it was revealed after 13 years of Nubuwwat. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been a Nabi for 13 years, he was persecuted in Makkah Mukarramah, he made hijrat, he moved from Makkah Mukarramah. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to Medina Munawwara. Now Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed, and it is the longest surah of the Holy Quran. Look at how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks, and look. Let us do a quick synopsis of the surah so that we can understand it. The surah opens up by speaking about the Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Quran Sharif, and Allah ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Not like any modern day human author who writes in his introductions and in the preface that this is a human endeavor and it is an attempt and there might be some mistakes, and if you find any mistakes then please alert me to those mistakes so that I can correct them in future versions. Not like that. The Quran is not like that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens up and he says very, very emphatically, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There's no mistakes in this Quran. There's no doubts in this Quran. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And it is a guide for the believers. And whereas it is a guide for all of the people, it is actually a guide. And the people who benefit the most from the Holy Quran are those who adopt taqwa, who adopt piety, who have Allah consciousness. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about some of their qualities. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks very, very briefly about the disbelievers in this very surah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the disbelievers as a whole. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in a fair amount of detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the hypocrites. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Verses to that effect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the disbeliever or the hypocrites Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this very surah, after a few pages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all these three groups of people. In other words, the believers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the disbelievers, and He addresses the mushrikeen, the idolaters, the Ahle Kitab, everyone, all the different types of people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone. The Jews, the Christians, everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents the Holy Quran as an emphatic miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that cannot be imitated by any man. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings forth the emphatic miracle and the great miracle of the Holy Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah speaks about the creation of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And all of this, it's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers all of this in a few pages, and the hikmat and the wisdom that is there in these verses that look and ponder, O human beings, O Muslims, O non-Muslims, O hypocrites, all of you, ponder and reflect over the magnificent creation of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and the magnificent creation of human beings. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In your own selves, don't you see there is adequate lessons for us to learn about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and to gain His recognition from the very verses and from the very creation of the human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them, about Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Thereafter, from verse number 40, right until verse number 123, 83 verses, a large chunk of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing to the Bani Israel. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Bani Israel? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about this group of people who are predominant. Remember, it is a Madani surah. It was revealed when Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, after he had made hijrat. So he was in Madina Munawwara. The Jews of Madina Munawwara who were there, they were predominant in Madina Munawwara. And they had settled many centuries earlier because they had studied the books and they had recognized and analyzed, and they had determined that the last and final prophet was to come to Madina Munawwara, and that was the reason why these Jews had come and settled in Madina Munawwara. And they were known, there were two types of disbelievers, two types of people amongst the disbelievers. One was the mushrikeen, the idolaters, who they just followed what they had found their fathers doing. وَجَدَنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. We found our forefathers worshipping idols, so we worshipped for idols as well. That is what they were, and the Quran refers to those people as the ummiyin, the unlettered ones. The other type of disbelievers were the Ahlul Kitab, and the Quran refers to these people as those people who had knowledge. And the people of the ummiyin, the mushrikeen, they used to look up to these people because they used to be ulama, they used to be scholars, they had studied the Torah, the Injil, and the Quran refers to them as the Ahlul Kitab. Nevertheless, it is these people who are predominantly residing in and around Madina Munawwara, and they were looked upon as respectful people by the other people, and therefore the Quran addresses them directly for 83 verses in a row. 83 verses in a row Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to them, speaks about them. Why? Because if these group of people, if they accept the faith, then there is a great possibility that the rest of the communities around Madina Munawwara and around the world will also accept the teachings of Deen and will accept the teachings of Islam. 83 verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussed. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discussed, and these verses, they open up with the verses that I recited today. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses them, and he adopts a very, very persuasive and a very, very friendly tone when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to them, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses them with the attribute of the family from which they come. Ya Bani Israel. O children, O progeny of Israel. O children and progeny of Israel. And who was Israel? Israel was Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam. It is a Hebrew word. It means, Isra means Abd. And Il means Allah. So it is the equivalent of Abdullah. And some ulama have mentioned that among the prophets, there were two prophets only who had more than one name. One of the prophets was our Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad Mujtaba, Ahmad Mustafa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had many names, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used his many names in the Holy Quran, and there are ahadith that have been narrated with regards to his names as well. The other prophet who had more than one name was Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, his other name was Israel, which means Abdullah. And Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, he had 12 children, 12 sons he had, and amongst his sons was Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Binyamin, and the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. And from this progeny, the Quran speaks about it in another verse, there were 12 tribes that emanated, and there were 12 chieftains, chiefs of those particular tribes. بَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمُ اثْنَيْ عَشَرَ نَقِيبًا اثْنَتَ عَشَرَ نَقِيبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that in another verse of the Holy Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this group of people through the Nabi through which they are associated. And the great amount of respect that they are afforded as a community, as a group of people, because of that attachment that they had, and because of such affiliation that they had with that Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them, and he says, Ya Bani Israel, O Bani Israel, Udhkuru, Udhkuru, Ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum. Remember the ni'mats and the bounties and the virtues that I have showered upon you. Remember those virtues. And do what? And come back to me. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi, a great commentator of the Holy Quran, he just analyzes the verse that when it came to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said to them, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. In other words, the ummah of, and he mentions under this verse that there is a subtle indication towards the superiority of this ummah over the ummah of the Bani Israel, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala asked this ummah to remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala directly without the intermediary of the ni'mats and the bounties. And therefore this ummah remembers Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala directly, and other ummahs of the past would remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by contemplating and thinking of the ni'mats that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had blessed them with, and then they would remember where those ni'mats had come from, and they would remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But this ummah is supposed to be remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala directly. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions this in the very opening verse. Ya Bani Israel, اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِي الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ. And O Bani Israel, you fulfill your covenant. Fulfill the covenant that you took with me. And the ulama, they then, and this is what we all are supposed to be doing. Not just read the verse and then which is that covenant. We are supposed to be having those questions. Ya Allah, what is that covenant that the Bani Israel had taken? What was that promise that the Bani Israel had taken? Awfu bi ahdi, ufi bi ahdikum. You fulfill your covenant that you took with me, Allah is saying, and I will fulfill the covenant that I made with you, the promise that I made with you. Which was that covenant? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the mufassirin, they say that it refers to a verse of the Torah, and a similar verse has also been revealed in the Holy Quran. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمُ اثْنَيْ عَشَرَةَ نَقِيبًا وَقَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ لَئِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي وَأَقْرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. This is the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions that indeed and most certainly Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took a covenant with the Bani Israel, and he sent to them 12 chieftains, and we discussed the fact that there were 12 sons, and from there were 12 tribes, and there were 12 chiefs of those particular tribes, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said to the Bani Israel, inni ma'akum, I am with you. If you establish salah, and if you pay your zakah, and you give your alms, and you believe in all of my messengers, you believe, wa amantum bi rusuli, and you believe in all of my messengers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, then, and you help and you assist those messengers, and you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a goodly loan, then I will wipe off your sins, and I will enter you into gardens beneath which rivers flow. So this was the covenant that they both took. The Bani Israel said, we are going to do this. Allah said, I will give you Jannah. In other words, they were supposed to be obedient, and they had recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were in Medina to waiting for the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but just on account of hostility, on account of arrogance that now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has manifested from the Bani Ismail and the children of Sayyidina Ismail, and not from the children of Yaqub alayhi salam. That's why, because of that jealousy, because of that arrogance, because of that stubbornness, they did not accept. Now when Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam is born, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has come to Medina, now they are being told that remember that covenant of yours that your forefathers had taken, and because of which you are now residing here in Madinatul Munawwara. Awfu bi ahdi, ufi bi ahdikum. We learn from here also, the ulama of tafsir mentioned under this verse, the importance of fulfilling our covenants and our promises, adhering to the contracts that we make, the things that we tell people. I will phone you at this particular time, I will meet you at this particular place at a particular time. Awfu bil uqud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we must be fulfilling our covenants, fulfilling our contracts, the promises that we made. In fact, one of the qualities of the munafiqeen that have been mentioned in the hadith is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, ayatul munafiqi thalath, idha wa'ada akhlafa. There are three qualities and three signs of a munafiq and a hypocrite, and one of those signs are that when he makes a promise, then he goes against that promise. He does not fulfill his covenant. He doesn't adhere to the contracts that he has put in place. All of us need to reflect. Allah is not speaking only about the Bani Israel. There is a larger and a greater message in all of these verses. And although time will not allow us to go into the details, but this is something that we need to reflect and ponder over. I would like to appeal to one and all that we pick up these verses, read an authentic translation, an authentic tafsir of these verses, ponder and reflect over them. Maybe we don't have to read all 83 verses in one go. Ponder and reflect over them and understand the type of people that we are dealing with before we make up our minds to follow some sort of nation whom it seems as though they may be helping and assisting the Palestinian cause, when we need to be very, very careful when we decipher whom we support and what sort of decisions and aqaid we make up in our minds. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of amal. Just to complete the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of the verse, وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ, and fear only me. Addressing the Bani Israel. But that address is for us also, that we should be also fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of amal, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the pain, the suffering, the plight of our Palestinian brothers and sisters. Wallah brothers, I mentioned in the Eid program as well, this is not a Palestinian matter. It is not an Arab issue. It is an issue that deals with the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it affects each and every one of us. And therefore we need to build up capacity. We need to learn and we need to help and assist our brothers and sisters in Palestine in whatever way we can. And inshallah, if they are successful, then this ummah will come out of the trenches that it finds itself in at the moment. We are at a very great low as far as our history is concerned. If we are successful in this Tufan al-Aqsa al-Mubarak, if we are successful in this, then the ummah will inshallah rise again to its days of glory. Just on the word rise, I just want to mention one of the verses that comes here also is about establishing salah, and I just get a flash about one of the things that Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to mention, and I will terminate on that. He used to mention that we talk about the rise of Islam, the rise of Islam, but how is Islam going to rise when we ourselves rise after sunrise, when the sons of Islam are rising after sunrise, and we are neglecting the Fajr prayer? How is Islam going to rise like that? So we ourselves have to resolve that we are going to be, aur ab jamaat se sab namazo ko jaake masjid mein hum padhenge. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.